You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are studying Hebrews chapter 10. We are continuing our discussion of the Old and the New Covenant, which is a contract, as we said last week. It's also sealed or signed by the death of Jesus Christ that has been willed to us. He has died for us and has given us righteousness. That is the issue today, is righteousness. As we have discussed in Romans, Paul is concerned about righteousness. And any child of God who wants to please the Lord is concerned about righteousness. But the issue today is, how can a man cleanse himself? Paul has concluded that man cannot cleanse himself. His righteousness is as filthy rags. And it doesn't matter if you are born again or not, if you're trusting in your own righteousness, they are still filthy rags. There's only one that can bring righteousness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That righteousness comes as a result of His one-time sacrifice upon the cross. And He wants you to seek it in Jesus. We must stay close to Him in fellowship and live a victorious life. God wants righteousness. We may fall, but we have an advocate with the Father, and it was an accident when we fall. It's not willful, although many want to question that word willful. And the word willful is going to come up in today's lesson. It's talking about willfully rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus and going back to the sacrifice of animals for the forgiveness of sins. We know that when we sin sometimes, we are aware that we are sinning. And so some say, well, that's willful. But this is talking about unbelief. And unbelief, we're going to discuss a little bit later. But willful means unbelief. And so keep that in mind as we study this chapter. Paul is still discussing today the temple worship and the sacrifices made by the high priest once a year for the cleansing of the people. But that sacrifice offered by the high priest under the old law, the old covenant, did not cleanse the people's sins. It was just a shadow of Christ's sacrifice. The blood of animals can never forgive sins, and it certainly cannot cleanse a believer. It cannot bring righteousness. These were ceremonies, and they were customs that a person had to do year after year. And each year they were reminded of these filthy rags. Each year they had to go through the cleansing step again. They were never clothed with righteousness, as the new covenant does when God writes His laws upon our heart. We are made clean by that law. That is the law that Christ fulfills. It's His righteousness when He writes the Ten Commandments and the law of love upon our heart. One scripture says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and our minds to help us want to do right and live right. God is love. These Jewish Christians were dependent upon their own righteousness and their own works to save them. they wanted to hold on to the temple rituals and the offering of sacrifices of animals. And there's been no sacrifices in a Jewish temple since the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. 70 A.D., when Titus destroyed the temple in Jerusalem after Jesus was resurrected. So there's been no animal sacrifices for 2,000 years. So what will we do if we can't go to the temple and we can't offer the sacrifices of the Old Covenant? Especially Gentiles who could not even enter into the inner court. They could only be in the outer court. They were excluded. They could have a Jewish high priest if they wanted to come to the temple. They couldn't serve as a high priest. No one could serve as a priest except a Levite. Now I want to bring in Zechariah the prophet. The book of Zechariah is one of the last books of the Old Testament. And he has 8 visions. He has a vision of Joshua with the temple and with the Jewish people. And in Zechariah 3, the vision he has of Joshua is as a high priest who is compared to the branch who is Christ. It's talking about the redemption of all mankind through Jesus Christ. Zechariah's vision is of the high priest of Christ who's going to remove sin once and for all and in one day. Zechariah is prophesying the sacrifice of Jesus about 540 years before Jesus died upon the cross. This new covenant is prophesied in Zechariah. Another reason the law of Moses was not effective was because that the high priest himself had no righteousness to offer. His righteousness was as filthy rags, as Zechariah tells us in this vision. The high priest of the Levites that had offered those sacrifices year after year had to go through some cleansing for his own temporary cleansing before he could even go into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice for the Jews. And he talks about how that the high priest is going to receive a cleansing. And that cleansing will be once and for all. He talks about it in the terms of Joshua, which he's relating you and me. We stand in the place of Joshua in the new gospel and the new covenant. We are the Joshua that he's talking about in this vision. We also know that the word Joshua means Yeshua. Yeshua in Hebrew is the name of Jesus. I want to read Zechariah chapter 3 in the New Living Translation. Says, then the angel showed me Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan was there at the angel's right hand, accusing Yeshua of many things. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from a fire. Yeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. Now we know that Jesus did not have unrighteousness when he was upon this earth, but he did have the human nature, called the flesh, that brings forth unrighteousness. Yeshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel, because he took upon himself flesh. He took sin upon himself. Jesus took upon himself our sins, and he was clothed with filthy garments, and Satan is there to accuse him. So the angel said to the others standing there, "Take off his filthy clothes." And turning to Yeshua, he said, "See, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes." What's he mean? He's clothing him with righteousness. Then I said, "Please, could he also have a clean turban on his head?" So they put a clean priestly turban on his head, and they dressed him in new clothes while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Yeshua and said, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you follow my ways and obey my requirements, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards. I will let you walk in and out of my presence along with these others standing here. Listen to me, O Yeshua the high priest, and all you other priests. You are symbols of the good things to come. Soon I'm going to bring my servant the branch. Now look at the jewel I've set before Yeshua. A single stone with seven facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty." He also says that he will do an engraving upon the stone, which shall bring righteousness. "And I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. And on that day," says the Lord Almighty, "each of you will invite your neighbor into your home to share your peace and prosperity." He's talking about an earthly priesthood that can approach a heavenly kingdom through the branch, that the branch would bring forth righteousness and would set a new law, and he cleanses us so that we may go into that Holy of Holies in the throne room of God. This is what God is offering in the new covenant. And Paul here continues in Hebrews 10, and he tells these unbelieving Jews that they need to look at what is offered here and not treat it with disdain, to trample upon the blood of Jesus and give respect to the throne of God. He is saying it's holy ground and it's holy blood that cleanses us, and that we are to cherish it. And if we don't believe in it and we don't accept it by faith, then we have no other sacrifice, he says. If you don't believe in Jesus' sacrifice and you willfully reject his sacrifice, as some of these Christian Jews had done, and went back into their old ways and depended upon their own righteousness, if we willfully reject Jesus, we willfully reject this sacrifice, and we want to continue in filthy rags and continue in offering unworthy sacrifices such as animals, then we do nothing but spite to the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. This chapter tells us that God is a consuming fire. Now we know that fire cleanses and purifies. Two things that's happening with God as a consuming fire. He can be consuming to the believer in that we are purified. Or we could be consumed as an unbeliever and be destroyed. I want to read you in the New Living Translation about the Lord's obedience and His faith and His believing. We know that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the obedient servant. In Isaiah 54:11, the Sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom, Jesus is saying, so that I know what to say to all these weary ones. Morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will. The Sovereign Lord has spoken to me and I have listened. I do not rebel or turn away. I give my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I do not hide from shame, for they mock me and spit in my face. And because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore I have set my face like a stone, determined to do His will. And I know that I will triumph. And He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to oppose me now? Where are my enemies? Let them appear. See, the Sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys His servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourself by your own fires, meaning your own righteousness. It's filthy rags. But if you're trusting in your own righteousness, this is the reward that you will receive from me, Jesus says. You will soon lie down in great torment. So He's telling us here to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that has salvation. And His sacrifice, once and for all, is sufficient to cleanse us and to clothe us with righteousness. And He will put a new crown or a new turban upon our head, and it will be the crown of righteousness that He speaks about in Revelation. The believing Christian Jews in verse 32 had suffered because they had believed in Jesus Christ. They were rejected by their Jewish unbelieving brethren. But we also must remind you of the suffering of Christ and what He had to endure to bring us salvation. I want to read you Isaiah 52:13-15. And many were amazed when they saw Him, talking about Jesus. He was beaten and bloodied. He was so disfigured, one could scarcely know He was a person. Verse 15. And He will again startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in His presence. the gospel was very costly. It cost the life of the Son of God and His sufferings, as we had read to you today in Isaiah. Now let's read Hebrews chapter 10 in the New Living Translation. The heading here is Christ's Sacrifice Once for All. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, He said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but You have given Me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin." Then I said, "Look, I have come to do Your will, O God, as it is written about Me in the Scriptures." First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were You pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then He said, "Look, I have come to do Your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. And then He sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There He waits until His enemies are humbled and made a footstool under His feet. For by that one offering He forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for He says, "This is the new covenant I will make with My people on that day, says the Lord. I will write My laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then He says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices. The heading here is A Call to Persevere. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume His enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, "I will take revenge, I will pay them back." He also said, "The Lord will judge His own people." It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there was better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones, whose souls will be saved. Please pray this prayer with me. We're thankful, Lord, that You persevered and You endured and that You died for us and that You rose again. And not only have You done this, but You have given us the power of the resurrection to live in us that we may be victorious and be overcomers. May we walk in faith and believe You, Lord, and trust in You for whatever comes against us. And we know in that day You will give us a crown of righteousness, and You will give us a new name, and we will sit with You in Your throne, and we give You praise and glorify Your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we thank You for being with us today, and if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a